Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Praise God. Have you ever shown up somewhere and you had the wrong color pants on or you were missing something? Did you ever feel like something was out of place? Well, I feel like that today there must be something out of place with my wardrobe. If you're watching online, I actually have forgotten my shoes. Now, this is on purpose, and so I don't mean any disrespect to any of you, but I wanted to illustrate a point, and I want you to be able to remember it. So today, we're going to talk about how's your shoe game? How's your shoe game? All right, so let's stand right now because we are going to read the Word of God, and because we treasure the Word of God, we stand, and I'm going to be reading our opening scripture, which is out of Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading verses 12 through 18, and I believe that this is going to be a blessing to you this morning, and if you'll open your heart, there is something here for you to apply to your life and help you this coming week. I guarantee it. I guarantee it because God's word never returns void. So here we go. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand therefore, having girded yourself with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Father, we thank you for the reading of your Word today. We treasure your Word. We thank you, Father God, that we find that there is life in your Word. And as we take it into our being, Lord, that you are able to help us to live out the gospel truths that you have come to give us, Lord, freely. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So how's your shoe game? Now, perhaps you've never heard the term shoe game. How many in here have never heard the term shoe game? Okay. There's a couple of you that have not. All right. Who has heard? All right. And I want a young person who's under the age of 20 to come up here real quick and tell me what shoe game is.
We know. We got Sebastian.
All right.
Sebastian.
You know what your shoe game is.
You got on today.
Uh-oh.
All right. Tell us what it is.
Shoe game, like how good your shoes are, like what type of shoes.
Okay. What are some of the best shoes that you could be wearing right now?
Jordans.
Okay. What are some other ones?
Nikes, Balenciagas, stuff like that.
Okay. And about how much do some of these shoes cost?
200 plus. Like some of them cost like $1,000, $2,000.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you, young man. All right. So, you know, sometimes we wear the wrong thing, feel out of place, feel like something's missing. Mm-hmm. Something's missing. Something's not quite right. Mm. You ever felt like that? Mm-hmm. Right? This week was kind of a crazy week, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of crazy week. Some of you might have even had some personal things going on that you let us know so we can be praying. But then also, who would have thought of an earthquake, right? Right? And then there's an eclipse tomorrow. The cicadas are coming. I mean, you know, there's a lot out there. And really make you feel like something's off, something's not quite right. I'm missing something. Now, my second year at Rhema Bible College, I interviewed to become an usher. Okay. Now, at Rhema Bible College, they don't just let anybody usher. Man. I mean, you go through an interview process, and you wait.
Right.
And you have a pastor's recommendation from back home whether or not you could open a door for somebody. This is true story, right? And you had a uniform to wear. Now, I'm in my second year. The first year, because we had already been in ministry, we took that first year to really kind of find ourselves in the church body and just kind of settle in before we started volunteering for a bunch of things. It's a large church, lots of ministries to get involved with. And so we prayed about it. And Pastor Christine, she chose choir, and I chose to be an usher. And I remember I was scared to death of that interview. Really, I'm just telling you, it was a scary interview. And I know we're not supposed to be scared and we're not supposed to be fearful, right? But I was like nail biting. And Jim Biedenbaugh was the captain. And I mean, I don't know if he was ever former military, but he acted like he was former military. And so he interviews me and he approves me. Mm. And I am so excited. About my third week of training, because then you shadowed for a good 2+ weeks, sometimes a month, mm-hmm. before they let you put on the seafoam green coat. Mm-hmm. And they would do it in a ceremony. Mm-hmm. Behind closed doors, just the men who were ushering, they would present your jacket to you. And the uniform was that you wore a white crisp shirt with a black crisp tie and black pants and black shoes. Well, one morning, third week, I'm supposed to report for duty. Well, we lived about 15 minutes away from the church, and during the darkness of morning, I couldn't tell the difference between blue and black. Any guys in here feel my pain? Okay. All right. Adam says, what's the difference? I couldn't tell the difference between blue and black. I put blue slacks on.
Oh, no.
Pastor Christine was focused on her stuff. She didn't notice. I walk into the usher's room, and I was stopped in my tracks immediately by Jim Biedenbaugh. He looks at me and he goes, what do you think you're doing? I was like, what? He goes, you're out of uniform. I'm like, oh. I said, I got it. He goes, can't serve today. I was like, okay. So I got in my car, went back, came back. There was enough time, thank God, and got my black pants on. But I felt out of place. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes in our life, we feel like something is off. Mm-hmm. Something's not quite right. And we're missing peace. Yeah. Yeah. We're missing peace. Now, the scriptures that we just read were typically the armor of God, and I'm not teaching on the armor of God this morning, but I am talking about finding missing peace. Mm-hmm. And it's right here in the key verse that we want to hone in on today, and that is verse 15. So I'm asking the question, how's your shoe game going? Mm-hmm. Because verse 15 says this. It says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Mm-hmm. Now, you've heard me say from this pulpit many, many times that what is peace? Peace is, in the Hebrew, is shalom. It is nothing missing, nothing broken. In fact, the etymology of that word goes all the way back to the time of Moses, when they were coming up with the laws to govern, And when the reason why peace came back and the reason why it has that connotation of nothing missing, nothing broken, is because it comes from some of the rules that if I stole something from you, Brother Adam, if I took something that was not mine, and we know from the Ten Commandments that, you know, stealing is wrong, right? Thou shalt not steal. That when I give it back to you, that I've restored it. I've actually restored it so it's not broken and it's not missing. That's what shalom means. So when we look at this verse in the New Testament, the gospel of peace, having your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Now, I personally, I don't like the looks of my feet. Do anybody in here like the looks of your feet? They're kind of odd things, aren't they? And yet we cover them up. It is a styling thing these days. In fact, I did a little research, and some of you that do follow the shoe game, you know, all the different collectible shoes, things like that. I actually work with a young man. He spends most of his paycheck on shoes. Lives at home with his parents, so I guess that's the reason why he can do that. And the other day he bought almost a $4,000 computer. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's an expensive computer. And then he turned around and he goes, nah, I don't really need it. I'd rather have money for my shoes. Wow. So he returned it so he could buy shoes.
Wow.
So there is kind of this cultural excitement about shoes. It used to be that, you know, people used to make fun of, and I have friends in here that are Filipino. They used to make fun of a Filipino president's wife because she had a lot of shoes, right? And so here in America, sometimes the comedians would say something about the president's wife of the Philippines having all these shoes. That's what she was known for. But it's now carried over. It's not just ladies that like the shoes, right? But it's guys. It's everybody. We like the shoes. They're a styling thing. Now, I did a little research, and I was shocked to find out the most expensive shoes in the world right now, $19.9 million for a pair of shoes. That's number one. They're called Moonstar Shoes by Antonio Vietri. Okay, some designer. Now, interestingly enough, number four on the list were the shoes that were thrown at President George Bush in Iraq. $10 million. And they looked like worn out men's dress shoes. But then, about number eight on the list, Michael Jordan's 1998 NBA Finals sneakers. They're also called the Last Dance sneakers. And they're red and black. And they have sold for, $2.2 million. So we put a lot of emphasis on shoes. And the Apostle Paul here, in talking to the Ephesian church, talks about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the gospel of shalom. Now, most of the time when I've heard this preached, and most of the time when I've even preached it, I've talked about, well, that means we're supposed to be ready to go share the gospel with everybody. And that works. That's a legitimate sermon. I'm not saying that's wrong. But if we peel back this layers a little bit more, look at the meanings of the words, we find out that I believe the Apostle Paul was saying something a whole lot more important here about finding missing peace. See, this soldier's uniform covered him from head to toe. The Ephesians would have known very well what a Roman soldier looked like. So when Paul was describing our armor spiritually, he was actually, he probably had a Roman soldier standing right next to him. So he's got the visual, and he's telling us, having your feet shod, that means tightly ready. Have you ever put on a pair of just household slippers and then go try to do something hard, like ride a bike or go hiking with flip-flops? Now, see, down in Florida, I used to go to high school in flip-flops. Wow. That's what we call them. That was part of the uniform. You know what I mean? Young people have a uniform today. I mean, you would wear, and they had to be not the cheap Walmart or Kmart brand of flip-flops. They had to be the $50 flip-flops. Oh. And we're talking about back 30-plus years ago. Maybe not 50, probably $30. For inflation, they're probably 50 now. And you had to have those. And then name for them were slaps, because they slapped when you walked, right? And so you would have to have those right shoes. But Paul is telling us something here very important. He's telling us that the gospel of peace is not just about, oh, I need to tell more people about Jesus. The gospel of peace is for your benefit. If shalom means nothing broken, nothing missing, yet how come I know so many Christians right now who are struggling to find peace? Now, I'm not talking about getting peace as you're praying through a situation, because that's a nuance, okay? Because you might be praying through a difficult situation and you're getting peace. Today, I want to tell you how you can get peace through any circumstance. Because having your feet shod means that you were ready. You were ready. Now, Roman soldiers' sandals were not like my Floridian slacks. They were sandals that covered, literally, with all their pieces, from the knee all the way down to the feet. And underneath the feet, there were nails that would stick into the ground, almost like spikes. And because they were made out of leather and metal, they were a Roman instrument and weapon, is what they were. On the front end of those shoes, there was a spike, so that if the Roman soldier kicked somebody or an enemy, he would eliminate that enemy, or at least put him out of commission for a while. The underneath, when they marched together, 10 of them would sound like 100. It was an intimidation factor. It was meant to intimidate the enemy as well. It was, if there were 100 of them, they would sound like 1,000 of them. And the Roman soldiers, this was a Roman invention. There were sandals that covered the average everyday person's feet, but these particular shoes were shoes for war. They were shoes for attacking an enemy. They were shoes not only for war, but they were also meant to stabilize the soldier if he were attacked. Because if you've ever played sports and you've had football, baseball cleats on, then those cleats dig into the ground to give you a footing, so that when an enemy comes against you, or when you need to take off and run, you can dig in without slipping in the mud. So these particular shoes, they were amazing. So I'm going to ask you a question. How's your shoe game? Where's your peace? Your peace shoes that you should have on your feet. Your peace shoes actually will help dig you in to situations that come that you don't know are coming. See, Jesus himself told us, in this world you're going to have trouble, right, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So this idea that we're never going to have trouble, that's not biblical. Trouble does come to us. And it's not always God's will when that trouble comes to us, by the way. We're not Calvinists here. So we don't believe that everything happens as God's will. There's a lot of things happen that are the enemy's will. And we have a part to play to combat against that. Yes. Now, yes, it is God who gives us that authority. He gives us that choice. He gives us that power. So when we have these feet that are shod with the preparation, that means I'm prepared for anything. Turn to your neighbor and say, be prepared for anything.
Be prepared for anything.
See, this week, there's a lot of your friends, your coworkers, they might be a little anxious. You know, they had an earthquake last week, right? Eclipse is coming, what is it, tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Right? And we don't know what it's going to do. Well, 7 years ago, we had an eclipse. For some reason, the negative press was not the same as it is now. In August, I think it was 2017, I believe it was. And, you know, but now this is, Randy said it this morning. What is it? What's the word they're using?
Totality.
Okay. Scary sounding word, right? See, the enemy is always trying to get you out of peace. Did you know that? He's always trying to keep you out of peace. Because if he can't defeat you in other ways, then he's going to keep you out of peace. Anxiety will try to rule your life. Worry, fear. Where does that all come from? Thoughts? The enemy loves to work in thoughts. He loves to work. That's his toolbox. He loves to throw thoughts. How did he tempt Adam? How did he try to tempt Jesus? Little twisting of the truth, a little bit of, did God say that? Right? So we see that Paul wants us to know something about having your feet shod with what? Preparation. Prepared for anything. Prepared for anything that comes your way, that plants you in. Now, the other really cool thing about these shoes is that when, Brother Adam, come on up here. Okay.
Hallelujah.
So, if I've got these shoes on and we're going to go take a hill and there's going to be some other soldiers coming at us, we got these special shoes on, right? Mm-hmm. So, if we link arms here, man, I'll tell you what, nobody is going to, I mean, we're going to plant ourselves. Okay. Nobody's coming through.
Okay.
Nobody's coming through. So, when we understand that the preparation of the gospel of peace, it's designed not for you to do this by yourself. Thank you. They were not designed to do by yourself. They were designed in tandem with somebody else. We need each other.
Yes.
We need each other.
Amen.
We need each other with this, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The good news of peace means that you can be in peace even when there is a storm raging around you.
Jesus, yes, you can. Thank you, Lord.
You see, the Word of God tells us that He'll keep us in perfect peace. If our mind is stayed where?
On Him. On Him.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Keeping us in perfect peace. The peace of God. The peace that passes all understanding. Mm-hmm. And when I think through that, I think, wow, God, you've thought of it all.
Yeah.
And I think about last week. Last week we talked about the blood and how the blood covers over so many different areas of our lives. If you weren't here, I encourage you, go watch that. Not because I said it, because I just really believe that there is a spiritual truth that can help you in it. Okay? And there's a lot in there about the blood of Christ. But then I think about the disciples after the resurrection. What were they thinking? What were they feeling? What was that like? Even though, yes, they saw him ascend up into heaven and they told, and he said, oh, by the way, go wait for the promise of my Father. Go wait for the promise of my Father, for you're going to be endued with power from on high. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, right? And he goes on and he tells them to go wait. To go wait. Their teacher, their friend, their shepherd, their Lord was crucified in front of them. They saw him raised from the dead. He appears to them three times. Mm-hmm. At least three times. Multiple times, it says. But in John's gospel, there's three times that he appears to them post-resurrection. And you know what every time he says? As soon as he walks in or walks through the wall in his resurrected body, he comes in and he says, peace be to you. Peace be to you. What's he reminding them of? Peace be to you. Because they're up in the upper room waiting. They don't even know what they're fully waiting for. They just know power's coming from on high. They don't know what that's going to look like. They have no clue about it. So I imagine that there was some natural anxiety going on. What do you think? Mm-hmm. There might have been a little bit of, like, are the Romans coming for us next? Mm-hmm. Or are the Pharisees coming for us next? If they find us all in one room, what are they going to do? If you don't think they were thinking those human natural thoughts that you and I wrestle with sometimes, you need to realize they were human beings just like us, but they were empowered by God in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost came upon them. That's how they became the apostles that literally changed the earth and changed the course of history and were able to do so many amazing things for the kingdom of God by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, what about you and me? Pastor, how can I really put my feet, get them shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Get them totally tightened up, ready for battle. Ready for battle. Because we do live in a world, we don't know what's coming next, right? There's division all around us, there's stuff all around us. You know, Jesus never promised us that we were going to float on, I like what Brother Hagin used to say, float on flowery beds of ease. He used to say that. And we're not in that place. Turn with me to, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting something out of this. I just got really excited when I started just, you know... Pastor Christine and I were going through some things this week, just some things that had come up that in our lives, and we were just, you know, talking about them, rehashing them, praying over them. Finally, we just got to one point, and we just said, you know what? We just need to be quiet. Huh. You ever need to tell yourself that? We just need to be quiet. Take a break. We just need to shut the pie hole. That's what Mark Hankins calls it, the pie hole. We need to... Okay. Why? Because we need to focus and connect with our Heavenly Father. Amen. Right? At this church, we want you to connect with your Heavenly Amen. Father. We want you to know how good He is. Amen. He's provided everything you need for life and godliness. In Philippians chapter 4, we see something that is just a great verse for us. It's a good reminder for us. If Jesus could remind his disciples three separate times after he was raised from the dead, peace be with you. I believe that God wants us to really get this message of how to operate in peace when everything else is just going crazy around us, right? I want you to see what it says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. He says here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen. Notice what it says in verse 7. If you don't have it underlined in your Bible, you probably should. And it says, and the peace of God, listen, the shalom of God, nothing broken, nothing missing, which surpasses
all understanding.
Understanding with your human noggin up here. It surpasses understanding. And what does it do? It guards your heart and your mind by Christ Jesus. Guarding your heart and your mind by Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to tell you, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's any praiseworthy thing, meditate, that means continually, meditate on these things. Where do we get tripped up as Christians? Why do we feel like something's missing? I feel like we're probably missing some of the pieces here. And I don't mean that as a pun. We're missing some peace. Mm-hmm. What is it we're missing? We're missing that the Word has an action plan for us, right? Mm-hmm. There's an action plan for the Word that we can actually do the Word of God. Wait a second. He just told us, don't be anxious for anything, but now he's telling us how to go about doing that. The peace of God. The peace of God is a weapon in your life to stabilize you, to cause your feet to be planted so that when a wrong idea comes, when a wrong thought comes and you're like, I don't know what to do. Right? You just plant yourself.
Jesus.
Say, come on, devil, make my day. I may not know exactly what to do right now, but make my day. Because Jesus is in me.
Amen.
And the greater one on the inside of me. The greater one. that's what we need to be rehearsing. Rehearsing. Don't be rehearsing what CNN or Fox News or anybody else is saying. Rehearse what God says.
Amen.
Rehearse what God says. He said here he would give you peace that passes understanding. You might be in the middle of a storm, but your peace passes understanding. Your coworker looks at you and says, I don't know how you're doing. What is that? That's a sign. That's an advertisement for how good God is. Yeah. Can I tell you how I've overcome? They're like, so what medication you taking? No, you say, I got Dr. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And he told me that if I would do some of the things here, I pray, I supplicate, I give my requests to God. And guess what? The peace, the nothing broken, nothing missing, the shalom of God comes on me. Why? It passes understanding. It doesn't make any sense. It shouldn't make any sense. I don't know how I'm standing, but I am standing by the grace of God. We sang about the grace of God, right? God's ability, his passion, his doing inside of you what you can't do yourself. That is the grace of God. The grace of God is revealed through you, lived out through you. I'm telling you, if we would fix our thoughts, that's what one translation says. Fix your thoughts. So that's, you want to know how? You want to know how to improve your shoe game? Fix your thoughts.
Amen.
Okay. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? His presence needs to come in contact with our problems. When his presence comes in contact with the problem you're facing, that problem can't stay. Praise God. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and through 5 says it this way. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every what? Thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, researchers have found out that if 12 minutes of focused prayer every single day over an 8-week period can change your brain, that it'll show up on an MRI. I'm going to say that again. 12 minutes of daily focused prayer, doing exactly what we just said that we should be doing from what the Apostle Paul told us in Philippians, when he talked about, you know, let your requests be made known to God, right? So if we would do that, it says here that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured by a brain scan, an MRI. Prayer increases activities in the brain associated with social interaction, compassion, sensitivity to others. It increases the executive function. It actually will increase and help you regardless of the things that you're dealing with. Isn't that good news? Whether it is sometimes we've got stuff in our past that, quote, triggers us. What are we thinking about? If we would replace it with thoughts that are God's thoughts, we replace it with God's thoughts. When we replace it with God's thoughts, then we have victory. It is a way that you can plant yourself with the gospel of peace. Because it's yours. It's a promise that we can live by. We can live by. I actually have more, but I'm going to save it. We've got to get to communion, but I want to tell you the first thing you need to know. I'm just going to give it to you really, really.
Jesus.
Hang on to your seat right now, okay? We need to, number one, we need to know that we're in a war. We're in a warfare. That's why the Apostle Paul said, have your feet shod. That means you need to be ready. If you were living in a place that is war-torn right now, I guarantee you, you wouldn't live like we're living right now.
No.
We would be making sure we had provision. We would be making sure that we had safety. We would make a plan B. Our families would know, listen, if our building gets shelled, we got to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. We would have a plan. There would be communication,
sure,
right?
Sure.
There would be a plan. Well, I think God's people are walking around barefoot.
Mm.
There's no plan because they don't realize they're in a war.
Mm.
They don't realize that there is something going on. The enemy is always trying to get you out of peace. He's always trying to, what does he do? He goes through the thoughts. Goes through the thoughts. The Proverbs, I believe it is 23, tells us that as a man thinks, so is he. So if you're thinking on certain things, that's what gives birth to sin. That's what gives birth to a lot of things. But if we'll think on the right things, we're going to have peace, right? So I know you. I know you. You're going to think on the right things. I believe you are. I believe you are. You're going to think on the right things. So know that you're in a war. And now I'm just going to tell you, prepare your thinking. In other words, think about your thinking. So you're in a war, number one. Number two, think about your thinking. What are you thinking about? Think about your thinking. I know that sounds really crazy. It sounds almost like cliche. You've got to think about your thinking. Think about what you are thinking on, because if you're meditating on the wrong things, you need to change the channel. Change the channel. And Philippians 4, what did it say? Think on these things. God has an answer for it. I love it. He has an answer for it. And so think about what you're thinking about. And now, this one's going to require you to work a little bit. You're going to have to work a little bit. Everybody ready for work? Turn to your neighbor and say, get ready for work. This is an assignment. This is an assignment. You need to develop a declaration over your life. Now, that's just not just willy-nilly. Oh, I declare I'm going to have a good day today. No. You find it based in God's word. You find it based in God's word. And you say things out loud over your life. You say things out loud. Here's a very simple example. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You declare it over your life. So whatever it is you're dealing with that you need peace in, this is how you plant yourself. I'm telling you something that is going to help some of you this week. And I'm passionately saying it. I'm not trying to yell at you. If I sound like I'm yelling, I'm not. I'm just telling you, if you'll do this, because the enemy, he's out there seeking whom he may devour. He is going to come and try to steal the word and steal your peace, steal your joy, steal the things that God has given you, but you're going to have to fight because you are in a spiritual battle, right? You're in a spiritual battle. So the gospel of peace, just plant those spikes in the ground. Change your shoe game. And this is how you change your shoe game. It's not by going online and buying the most expensive shoes you possibly can. First of all, we know that $19 million, none of you got that, right? If you do, just let me know. We can help you out if you got a little extra. We're believing God for a building, right? If you got a little extra, if you got $19 million, I bet you got maybe $2 or $3 million we can have a building, right? Come on, that's good. That's good. All right. Praise God. So develop a declaration over your life, but you need to write it. Don't just say it willy-nilly. I've done that before, and then I don't say it again. You ever done that? I'm just telling on me. I won't tell on you. But we don't have to do that. Write it out. Write it out. A declaration over your life. Don't just take it because some preacher that you heard on YouTube said it. You make one by opening up the Word of God and find a verse, and you declare it, speak it over your life, and you say it after you've written it. You write it, then you say it, then you repeat it until you believe it. And then you keep saying it anyway. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm above and not beneath. You begin to say those things that are troubling you. I'm a positive person. If you struggle with being a positive person, then start saying, I'm a positive person. All right, I'm a positive person. I look for the good. I look for the good, right? You know, you start saying those things, and I'm telling you, it's going to change your circumstance, because that's how faith works. We speak what we believe. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm not there yet. Well, start in the Word. Start somewhere. You don't want to go around barefoot. First of all, your feet don't look that good. Neither do mine. They might not even smell that good. Right? We won't go there. Right? But what we need to do is know you're in a war. Know you're in a war. But that peace is a weapon for you. It is not just a defensive weapon. It's an offensive weapon. Amen? And make sure that you find something to say over your life. You write it. It's got to be based in God's word. You say it. And you say it. And you repeat it. And you keep saying it until you believe it. Because it will change your life. It will change your life. We speak over what we want to see. And you say, well, Pastor, I feel like that's just being dishonest. If I'm depressed, I should just say I'm depressed. Maybe not. Maybe what you need to say is something else that counteracts what is trying to come into your life. And that's when you plant yourself in the peace of God. Wait, the Bible tells me that if I put my trust in God, I can be in peace. And it doesn't even make sense. So I don't have to stay depressed. I can actually start speaking what I want to see in my life. Amen. You start seeing what I want to see in my life. Yes. Not what you're experiencing, but what I want to see in my life. I hope this is helpful to you. We're going to prepare to receive communion. I have a little bit more on here, but I'm going to save it. You're going to get a treat next week. Pastor Christine will be bringing the Word of God.
Amen.
I will be visiting my family down in Florida along with Abigail. So pray for us.
Amen.
But it'll be a great time for us, and I appreciate your prayers.
Amen.
But she's going to bring the Word, and I want you to come expecting. Bring a friend. Keep inviting people. What are we doing? We're filling this house, right?
Amen.
We're going to keep speaking. This house is full. This house is full. Pastor Christine says it. We declare it over this church that there's going to come a day you better get here early because you might not find a seat. Amen? All right. Praise God. All right. Amen. Amen. Let's pray and let's prepare to receive communion. We believe in open communion here. And what I mean by that is you don't have to be a member of this church. You just have to be a member of His church. And that means if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, He died for your sins, you've confessed Him as your Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us you will be saved. In other words, you're born again by the Spirit of God. And so this morning, I'd like us all just to bow our heads right now, just in case maybe there might be somebody here who doesn't know the Lord, or you're watching online and you don't know the Lord. Maybe what I was speaking Maybe it connected with you, but you weren't quite sure what to do with it. Maybe it's been years since you've been in church or really talking to God. God wants to talk to you. He loves you so much. So if you believe in your heart, Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, he was raised from the dead, and you're willing to confess him as your Lord and Savior today, I want you just to raise up your hand and say, that's me. I need to ask Jesus into my heart. I need to recommit my life to God. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand up this morning. We're going to pray together a simple prayer that just says that you can receive Christ right before we receive communion. Is there anybody at all? I'm just looking around. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just pray this simple prayer out loud. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins. I receive his forgiveness, and I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day on. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a moment, you're going to receive the communion elements in your hand. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray over them. You're just going to hold on to them. We're going to partake together. Okay, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for these elements, these symbols of your death, burial, and resurrection. Father, we thank you that as we partake of this covenant meal, Lord, that the goodness, the love, and the peace of God that passes all understanding would guard our hearts and minds today. And Father, we thank you for it. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.